Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll bring Dennis Walcott, the Deputy Mayor for Education in New York City, in on this in a minute. But this is also going to be a call-in for parents on the question, how do you decide if you're satisfied with your child's education? So we'll give you the number, 646-778-3729, our temporary call-in line, 646-SPUDRAY, the easiest way to remember it, 646-778-3729 or 646-SPUDRAY, on how you decide if you're satisfied with your child's education. Why do I ask? Well, this is a follow-up, really, on a comment from our Aspen Ideas Festival education event last week that parents are too satisfied with your children's education. What does it mean if 90% are satisfied while half their kids are reading at grade level? I want to replay the moment. Education philanthropist and activist Eli Broad was referring to a survey of parents just released by New York City Schools Chancellor Joel Klein.
He sent out surveys to all the parents. He got 400,000 back. And he was astounded that 92% of those parents thought their children were getting a good education. The point I'm making is we used to be number one in graduation rates. We're now number 21 amongst industrialized nations. What does that all mean? The American people do not understand that we've got to dramatically improve public education.
And then I asked him, can I follow up? Joel Klein, the chancellor, has 1.2 million kids in the massive system, 1.2 million kids. Are you saying with a 92 satisfaction rate, percent satisfaction rate, that parents in New York are too satisfied with their children's education? And he said they're much too satisfied, as are all the American people. Well, listeners, how do you rate your child's education? How do you decide how to rate your child's education, whether they're getting a good education or not? Eli Broad's comments go way beyond the New York City public schools and indicate that he thinks a lot of American parents, public school, private school, city, suburbs, are too satisfied with your children's education. 646-778-3729, 646-778-3729. As it happened, Colin Powell was in the audience for that segment at Aspen, and he said to me afterwards, he says, this is not just a domestic issue. People know me for foreign policy. This is a foreign policy issue that we have to educate our kids as well as possible compared to other countries. Let's talk to the New York City Deputy Mayor for Education, Dennis Walcott. Hi, Dennis. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian, and thank you very much. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. So first of all, tell us about this survey that Eli Broad was referring to. This is a system-wide parent satisfaction survey because you're trying to treat your parents as consumers, as customers?
Well, it's not just that. This is the second year that we've administered the Learning Environment Survey. And this year we had over 800,000 responses from parents, teachers, and students. And this represents a significant increase than last year. Plus, we also had the information back a lot earlier as well. And so it was our goal to survey the parents as well as the teachers and students on their feelings about schools and not just satisfaction level, but also issues that are important within school, whether it's safety, whether it's feeling students are supported by other students who learn. So it was a variety of different questions that were asked by the survey, and we got a tremendous response rate.
And in the press release on this, one of the sub-headlines says more than 90% of parents satisfied with the quality of education their children received.
And 94%, to be exact, were satisfied or very satisfied with the quality of their child's teachers, up from 90%. 92% were satisfied or very satisfied with the education their child received, up from 88% last year, and 89% were satisfied or very satisfied on how well their school communicated with them, compared to 84% last year, and 91% of the parents were satisfied or very satisfied with the opportunity opportunities to be involved in their child's education, which is up from 86% last year. So
it's that 92% figure that Eli Broad keyed in on. And how do you feel about that? If we have 50% of the kids reading at grade level, which I think is the stat, if you average out the fourth grade tests and the eighth grade tests, the two big benchmarks, and 92% are satisfied, what does that say?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, I heard what Eli had to say, and I think Eli is correct that we should never be satisfied exactly what goes on in our system, because we always have to demand more of our system and make sure we continue to improve results. And so there always has to be an edge to that level of satisfaction as far as saying we need to challenge the system more and more and challenge all of us to do better. But I think it also says to your question that parents, when it gets down to their individual school, their individual child's teacher, have a sense of satisfaction, and these results basically show that. And it doesn't mean that they're not happy with what's happening with their classroom. I think they have a responsibility to make sure they're more engaged in what goes on in their child's classroom, but at the same time it talks about that there's a level of understanding of what's happening within their child's school, especially in their child's classroom.
So do you think, as Eli Broad indicates, that nationwide, we're not educating our children to the level that they should be educated, that that this really is a matter of foreign policy as well as domestic policy? And if we're now, I'm going to look at his stats again, we're now number 21 among industrialized nations, that, you know, even if everybody's passing the standardized tests, we're not where we need to be.
I think Eli Broad is totally correct in that we should never be satisfied. We've lost our competitiveness. Other nations have far exceeded the United States. And even if you break it down to what's happening on the presidential campaign, you very rarely will hear education talked about. You may hear some references made to No Child Left Behind. But as far as the presumed candidates who are going to receive their party's nomination, that has not been addressed in total. And I remember tracking one debate in particular where education didn't even come up. So I think from both a policy level as well as from an individual school level, we have to demand more of our school system and look at new ways of how we both measure the accountability of success, but also place greater demands on the system to do better.
That's another part of Broad's initiative. He has what he calls his Ed in 08 campaign, which is specifically aimed at trying to get the presidential nominees to deal with education. And I asked how are they doing so far? And his response was basically, eh, you know. So what do you think, as deputy mayor for education in New York City, that you would like to see from the federal government? What could Mr. Obama or Mr. McCain do that would help you do your job in New York City?
Well, I think one of the things is tying in dollar resources to accountability, in that you hit certain benchmarks, and as a result of hitting benchmarks, whether it's the annual yearly progress of a child and making sure that the child is moving along the continuum and gaining greater education, there are greater dollars attached to that, and that can be tied to No Child Left Behind. I think we have to take a look at the way how we define proficiency as well, and that we, while from a federal point of view, we measure it moving from level 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, we don't show the progress of a child within each of those proficiency levels, and I think we have to take a look at that as well. I think there has to be a direct correlation as far as the disaggregation. I think one of the beauties of NCLB, it started the conversation around disaggregating the results by race and ethnicity, and I think we have to really even do a better job in breaking it down.
NCLB, No Child Left Behind. How do you think that has affected the racial gap in outcomes in New York City in any measurably positive way?
Well, I think what the latest state results have shown is that New York City has reduced the achievement gap both racially as well as from the city as compared to the rest of the state. But we, again, should not be satisfied with that at all. And even though we've been able to reduce the gap between black and Latino students compared to their white and Asian counterparts, there is still a gap. And there's still a specific gap when it comes to the males of the African-American and Latino populations. And we should never, ever be satisfied. So we have to acknowledge progress, but at the same time, we have to say that that progress has not yielded totally positive results, and we should never be satisfied with that.
Rebecca in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Rebecca. Rebecca, you there? All right.
Yeah, hi.
Oh, hi. Now you're on the air. Go ahead.
On the other one. Okay, so I'm on the air. All right. This is a little discombobulating. Okay, my daughter is going into fourth grade, and I love her school, but I have to just say that she had some trouble reading, and it was really a lot of responsibility on the parent to track down what exactly the issue was. So I would say, you know, great things about the school, but she had basically, I'd say, a visual disability, which wasn't caught when her eyesight was tested. It was more a matter of focus function, vision function. So then it became incumbent on me as a parent to run around and get the doctor's stuff. And I just lucked out and found out, and then I had to run around and take it to remedial. So I don't know exactly. I wasn't following the prior conversation too well, but
I understand your point. Sometimes things get missed by the system, so the parents really have to to take responsibility.
Let me respond to that in a couple of ways. I mean, we had the same thing with one of our daughters as well, as far as the visual part and not picking up on that. But I think there's not just a system responsibility. I think it falls back on us as parents to make sure that we are also providing as much as possible as far as that type of support is concerned. But I think there's a system responsibility to make sure, which we're doing in the New York City public school system, of testing the eyesight of our children. But I think there's a direct correlation on success and being able to process that information. And so I totally understand what she's saying. And what I will say to you is that we should have individual information out to you by the beginning of the school year as far as the exact progress of your child, and making sure your progress, the child's progress, is being measured in a way where parents can understand it, and then providing regular updates to you. So it's not just relying on open school night for you to have that information, and then having that ability to access that information online eventually as well. And that's part of the whole system of accountability, which I think this is all a part of, both from a learning environment survey point of view, as far as well as the letter grades of a school, making sure people understand why a school is graded the way it's graded. Because in the past, a lot of people will say, well, you know, my child is in this particular district, and automatically that means that the school is doing well. And even if a school is doing well, it can always do better. And so that's what all this is about, to make sure that parents have a clearer understanding of all the detailed information about a school.
Right. So again, Eli Broad's point is that parents don't even have a clear idea of what doing well is, even if they think their kids are getting a good education. I think Ephraim in Brooklyn wants to comment on that disparity between student achievement and parent satisfaction. Yes, Ephraim?
Yes, Brian. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm glad you asked this question, why this discrepancy, and where does it come from? And I have some assumption that it depends on how the survey was conducted, whether respondents, the parents, collected, sent their responses to school or to some other place. If I, as a parent, would have to submit my survey to the principal or to the teacher, of course, this would remind me election in Zimbabwe, when you have a dot on your palm when you elected, when you voted. If this survey was conducted the way when parents are free to offer their responses to independent address.
I see. You think that that there was too much pressure to express satisfaction.
You know, that's an interesting point, because we raised that and tried to really filter that type of pressure out, whereas KPMG both collected the surveys and tabulated the results. And one of the things that we also tried to do is make sure that parents in all areas, all income, as well as racial and ethnic populations filled out the survey.
Well, I also think that if Eli Broad's number was right here, and you can correct it if it's wrong, that 400,000 parent responses came in, that's only a third. That only represents a third of the students in the system.
No, no, Brian, but you're talking about the number of students. I mean, when you don't forget, it's a million students, so you can have parents with multiple children in the system. So you can't do a one-to-one comparison.
Right, I see. I guess I was thinking that if only a third of the parents responded, they would tend to be the most organized third.
No. Now, it's interesting. We did detailed analysis of the schools that responded, and these are schools from all income levels. But also, you can't do a one-to-one because you're talking about 1.1 million students. And so, you know, I had four children in the system.
Regina in Harlem, not so satisfied. Right, Regina?
Very dissatisfied. Very. I love your show.
Thank you.
But I unfortunately, my problems go back so many years, and I am so angry about what has happened to my children. I have seven children. And my second son sat in seventh grade the whole year and didn't learn anything. I didn't know. That's when I wasn't aware. My third son had problems, you know, in high school and everything. It was his fault. My fourth son, I had to take him out of public school because he was doing so well. You know, he was like a god in the public school that he was in. I had to send him to Catholic school, where everything leveled out and he did just good. My fourth son.
And now that's an interesting story. What you're saying is that the public school education was so mediocre that when your child did really well, it revealed it.
And I had a hard time paying. But what my point I'm trying to get to is my two daughters. I sent them to Manhattan East, which was a very, very good accelerated junior high school back in the late 90s. And they did terrible because they weren't prepared. We were in District 5, and when I sent them to Manhattan East, they had a very hard time
graduating. We just have 30 seconds. Let me follow up on what you said with respect to your second son, that he was doing badly and you didn't know. How could you not know?
Well, because I had a lot of small children, and I had to pay more attention to them. He was older; he was about 15, and he had to more or less try to get.
So the school needed to communicate better with you.
Oh, yes, can I know you only have
a couple Deputy
minutes.
Mayor, we have 30 seconds for you.
Let me just tell you, because I don't want this survey to be misunderstood. This is not a survey to pat the system on the back. This is a survey to be used by schools to make them better and to respond to this particular parent's issues and concerns. There'll be customized reports that are developed with the response rates and all the detailed information, and we'll be monitoring this, and this survey factors into a school grade itself. So this is not a survey for patting on the back. This is a survey for information and to build off that information.
Well, I think we've had enough talking about the issues for one morning. Now we can all go back to A-Rod and Madonna, okay? Deputy Mayor for Education, Dennis Walcott in New York City. Thanks a lot for coming on with us and talking about this.
And thank you. This will eventually make schools a lot better. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. See you tomorrow.